In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the blessed repose of the soul of Monsignor Anthony Bowman, whose funeral we just had a few days ago. I continue to pray for him. I'll save that for this weekend, because I want to share it with everybody at the same time. But those of you who went on the pilgrimage with us, you'll kind of already know it because I shared it with you, at least some of you, while we were there. Happened on our last day, our travel day back to the United States. Here within our scriptures, we see something of how it is that we're to prepare ourselves to encounter God and what ambition that takes. It's really easy when we've been following our Lord for a long time, when we've engaged in Mass so frequently within our lives, when we've given ourselves, like Sister Anne and I, who've given our lives to the Lord in these radical ways of living in our baptism, and so we've consistently gone through this year after year after year, these exact same readings, the exact same meditations over and over again, to somehow see ourselves as, well, maybe what I thought when I first entered into this Christian life, when I first entered into this radical living out of my vocation, maybe that was all wrong, and I just have to let my expectations go down a little bit. I'm not going to be like St. Isaac Joes or Jean de Brebeuf or these great martyrs that were there before. I mean, I used to think that I would be able to offer my entire life and, yes, go out and get martyred the next minute. But then I realized that there's so many other things that I don't do that are far less painful than that. St. Isaac Joes would even endure the fact of instead of killing him, they cut off his canonical digits so that he'd never be able to celebrate Mass. Brutally taking his flesh in that way. And he returned back and said, no, so long as the Pope allows me to celebrate Mass with my other fingers, which he gladly did, I want to go back. Well, in so many ways, I refuse to let go of the sins that so easily beset me. Those giving away to idle conversation, giving myself away to all sorts of other chatter that goes on, to watching things that, oh, maybe I shouldn't have watched that, or maybe I shouldn't have been doing that, or engaging in these things like that. Well, maybe I'm not cut out to be that way. So to lower my expectations. Don't forget that what the Lord spoke to you at the beginning of your conversion, what he continues to do in those moments of light and consolation within your life, he doesn't stop speaking to you just because you've fallen short. But he continues on to call us to that very same thing which was from the beginning with the same vigor that we received it in the first instance. I want to share with you something that one of the saints we visited on pilgrimage did. I went and snuck away from the group for a short period of time, as I was wont to do often there, much to the chagrin of our guide who was there, going back and forth between churches and altars all over the place, causing her untold stress. I went to go visit John Paul II at his altar, there to pray for just a little bit. Forced me to remove my audio guide ear listening device as well so that I would just be praying there, which was helpful to me, so that I could just be with the saint. Here's what he says about this very same topic that I'm giving you in not worrying about our inability to live up to our ideals, but to press on further because you are the light of the world. This is what he says. St. John Paul II says, "Do not be content with anything less than the highest of all ideals. Do not let yourselves be dispirited by those who are disillusioned with life and have grown deaf to the deepest and most authentic desires of their heart. You are right to be disappointed with hollow entertainment and passing fads and with the aiming at too little in life. If you have an ardent desire for the Lord, you will steer clear of the mediocrity and conformism so widespread in our society." Quoting scripture, he says, "For you are the light of the world. For those who first heard Jesus, as for us, the symbol of light evokes the desire for truth and the thirst for the fullness of knowledge, which are imprinted deep within every human being. When the light fades and vanishes altogether, we no longer see things as they really are. In the heart of night, we can feel frightened and insecure, and we patiently await the coming of the light of dawn. It is up to you to be the watchman. The watchman of the morning who announced the coming of the Son, who is none other than the risen Christ. The light which Jesus speaks about in the Gospel is the light of faith, God's free gift, which enlightens the heart and clarifies the mind. It is the God who said, quote, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' in quotation, who has shone out of our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God, the light to shine upon the face of Christ. That is why the words of our blessed Lord Jesus explain his identity and his mission, which are so important. He says, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but He will have the light of life. He says this in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. Continuing on, St. John Paul II says, our personal encounter with Christ bathes life in new light, sets us on the right path, and sends us out to be his witnesses. This new way of looking at the world and at people, which comes to us from him, leads us more deeply into the mystery of faith, which is not just a collection of theoretical assertions to be accepted and approved by the mind, but an experience to be had, a truth to be lived, the salt and the light of all reality. He urges us still onward, and he says, let the gospel be the measure and the guide of life's decisions and plans. Then you will be missionaries in all that you do and say. And wherever you work and wherever it is that you live, you will be signs of God's love, credible witnesses of the loving presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget. Never forget, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a bushel. St. John Paul II knew a lot about darkness in his world and in his time, as we spoke about on Sunday. He understands a lot about the disappointments with his own self and with others who he entrusted himself to and thought should have done better. He understands all those things, for he endured them all. But he reminds you and I not to give up, not to lose sight of hope, to let that light which shone in us at that one time to continually shine into us until it is contained within us and shines forth as a reflection of his divine image. The Lord has much left to do and to show you and me, no matter how long we've assisted at masses just like this. And in fact, that very thing which he spoke at the beginning, he only desires to deepen more and more as we come in contact with his very person. And if you're struggling to see that now, ask it of him to open your eyes once again. Because he shines it out again for you and me to see in this Eucharist. Lift up your hearts so they may be possessed and had in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.